It's like the battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 27 April 2020. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're going to be able to get something in a few minutes that I haven't talked to in a while. He'd been on the program, I think, at least once before, maybe twice before. A gentleman that I'll tell you about his book in a little bit. Some of y'all ain't going to like the book because it's going to walk on sacred cows, but I can't help it. It doesn't change the truth at all. Before I do that, though, I'll make some mentions, a couple of things. Again, if you're listening tonight on shortwave, if you're listening right now on 6115, you're listening to me called Melody Seastrom, paid for the airtime. Melody Seastrom with Discount Gold and Silver has been a blessing to this ministry for a long, long, long time and to my family. You need to call her up, folks, and I'm telling you, this intentional takedown of the world economy is going to affect us more than we can even begin to believe right now. If you don't have something put back to survive on, food and water filters and other things, guns and ammo, yes, absolutely, guns and ammo, and maybe some real money, gold, silver, put back to exist on while you can, I can't make you do it. All I'm just tell you, you need to call her at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. And again, we're offering a video. It's about an hour long. 10:50. Phil Hudock, our producer, put together a very hard-hitting, no-nonsense video that proves from professional, not from my little pea-picking brain, but from professional doctors and other people that will tell you COVID-19, although it's a real, I guess you say, disease, has been so hyped up on purpose. Folks, would you believe back in 2014 they made a video talking about this type of thing? Yes, they did. 2014, 6 years ago. And they brought it forth. This video is available to you folks at 10:50. If you show your friends, if they'll look at it, if they have enough courage to look at the truth, it will convince them that we've been fed a lie and we're still being duped and suckered and we're cowered in the corner because we're afraid to take a stand. That's all there is to it. We still have backyard medicine available, the book to everyone, whether you believe in trying to be a survivor or not as far as being survivalist and thinking things could get bad. This book's so good to have in your library. It's a book that absolutely is full color pictures of edible plants that can be used for medicine. And folks, it explains how to use it, how to cook it, and how to fix it for medicine. It's all in there. It's a beautiful book. Like I said, we got a good deal on a few of them. Now they're about going. I'll be quite honest with you, about going. Now, this best batch is about out of here. $18.95. They were $24.95, but I was able to get a good deal on them. I got them for $18.95. That includes shipping. A book that everyone should have in their library. And I mean that. And the book, The Grand Design Exposed, is a book, folks, that I can't explain to you unless you look at it. It's a book that you have to read to understand what it's talking about and how it shows from history where this America started, this country started, and what's in the plans that we'll say the more wicked had behind it. Oh, yes, folks, The Grand Design Exposed is a book that you need to have a copy of. Now, it is $12.95, and again, that includes shipping. Now, I will say this, that with several stations in this month, we'll be going off the air in some stations in Mississippi, Louisiana, Tucson, some others, because we don't have money to pay the bills. I know why. Donations are down because people are working. I realize that. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is right now. But I want to let y'all know in advance that listen to those stations that will be going as of the end of this month. And I may get back one day, but I don't know that. We'll have to wait and see. All we can do is, you know, just wait and see what the Lord has in store for us. And don't forget to email me if you want to receive a copy of May's Minuteman magazine. It's free via email. If you email me or call the office at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. Again, 800-777-4448. 404-403. If you have long distance, you can save us a few dollars a month if you call 304-846-4448. And just leave your email address there. Email me at Pastor Butch. Pastor Butch at startmail.com. Startmail.com. Give me your email address. We're glad to send that to you. And I do mean that. We'd love to do that. And I'll make one more announcement. I'll get to our guests. On May 16th, next month, that's on a Saturday, we are going to have our Bible study and current events as always. But after Bible study and current events, we're going to have a dinner. A dinner. We're going to put together a dinner. And we're going to invite anybody who wants to come join us at Phil Hudock's house for a dinner. Now, if you want more information on that, you can call me at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448 and say, what about the dinner on the 16th? The Bible study starts at 11:30 or 11, actually, and we'll have dinner about 2. Now, you're welcome to come join us, folks, if you don't mind just eating regular food. Hillbilly style. You're welcome to come and join us if you like. I just want to give an invitation. I think anybody can come. I know most of y'all can't make it. If you live close enough to Huttonsville, West Virginia, we'd love to have you. And that's the best I can do is offer, okay? That's all I can do. But our guest tonight, Ted Whalen, is a little different than most preachers. No, he's a lot different than most preachers. Maybe a little bit like I am. He's a little bit bold and a little bit zealous for the cause of Christ. And he says things that some people don't understand and makes some people maybe a little bit angry, as it probably would have been me some years ago, because I didn't understand a lot of things. But I do understand now that as much as people want to talk about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, and all those things in their place perhaps were okay. But let me just make this very clear to you. Let me make this very clear. There is no power in any of those writings to protect or keep what we would call rights. Because without Jesus Christ, there is no foundation to build anything on. And beyond that, our Savior does not give rights. He gives blessings. He gives duties to people that obey Him, and He blesses folks. He doesn't give you rights. He gives you blessings if you obey Him. It is not our right to keep and bear arms, according to the Bible. It's our duty to keep and bear arms. Once you realize that, as good as the documents may be, and maybe well-intentioned in some areas, without Christ, they are useless. Because unless we have the understanding that a duty is something we can't shove to the side, while we'll call right, if you want to call it that, can be shoved aside. If you don't want to exercise, you don't have to. But a duty, you must exercise. If you believe there's a sovereign God in heaven. So understand, we're in this mess because we have not followed the laws of God above everything else. And I said, we went to a meeting, a rally today in Charleston, West Virginia, the capital. About 40 of us showed up for back to work West Virginia type rally. You know, to reopen the state. And the governor made a statement today, a speech on what he's going to do. Oh, he's going to be so good to us. He's going to grant us some rights to go to businesses as long as you wear a mask. And if you don't wear a mask, you know, you could get in trouble with the health enforcement. But he's going to let us go back. He gave us a couple carrots to chew on, you know, keep us appeased. And we're going to let some businesses reopen. Be so good to us. But folks, we get the tyrant or the tyranny that we deserve and or tolerate. That's why we're in this hell of a mess, because to tolerate this, because we don't know our duty before a living God. And the sad part is most people don't want to believe there is a living God anymore. They want to trust man for their benefits, as we're warned against in the Scriptures and Proverbs and other places. But our guest tonight, Ted Whalen, will say some things tonight's going to make some of you upset. Before you get too upset, though, I ask you to weigh his words with the wisdom of the Word of God, not man's wisdom. Let's lay that aside for a while. Let's lay aside man's wisdom aside. No document ever written by any man or any group of men can hold a candle to the Word of God. Understand that. And without Jesus Christ as a foundation in a person's lives or society's life or a nation's life, it will not stand. Ted Whalen, I'm sorry to keep you so long, but I had to bring that up to point and give you a little bit of an introduction. Are you there?
I'm here, Butch, and you can just keep going. I'm loving everything I'm hearing from you, and I know you don't need my encouragement, but you just keep preaching it, brother. I appreciate your fire and your enthusiasm, and especially, of course, for our God and His Word and His laws. And I just appreciate you so much, and so grateful to be back here again. It's been a while.
It's been a while, but you know, brother, I am so frustrated. I can't believe, and I want you to give a little bio about yourself, man, a little bit about who you are for new listeners. But I am so frustrated that these places that call themselves churches actually closed their doors because the governor said they should. I mean, they actually did. And then some were arrested because they wouldn't. I understand that. But, brother, I'd better be arrested by a man than die by my Savior, wouldn't you?
I'm sorry, was that a question at the end of that?
I would rather be arrested by men than denied by my Savior.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, this made me so angry that these churches that call themselves churches would dare say, we're going to have church online today. Hogwash. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And the Bible says it's patient to see those days approaching, folks who are approaching too right now. But Ted, before we get into what we want to talk about, tell people a little bit about Ted Whalen. Where you're from, what you've done, and how you become to the knowledge of understanding the Word of God and its superiority over anything else. Please share that with us, if you don't mind. Who are you?
Well, probably the best way to describe myself, Butch, is to go to my passage, and I claim this is mine. Now, I'll let other people borrow it, but it's my passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27. Where it says, foresee your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And it goes on from there, of course. And you know it, and I know it. And praise God that that's the kind of men He chooses, that we end up glorifying God in Christ instead of ourselves. And I have nothing to glory in except for Christ. You know, the God in my life, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned this to you before. I probably have, but you talk about a foolish, stupid young man. The God in my life before Christ, before God touched my life with the gospel of Christ, was I was a bull rider, and that was the God in my life.
Now, by the way, what part of country? What part of country are you from?
I was raised in Colorado. I'm in Nebraska now, western Nebraska, almost Wyoming, but I was raised in Colorado, and that's where I outlawed as a teenager and started rodeoing, and bull riding was my passion. It was my God. And you talk about a stupid, foolish young man. You know, I don't know if you can get any stupider than riding bulls, you know.
Well, my middle son did the same thing. He broke his ankle one night, but go ahead.
Yeah, and anyway, you know, God had been beating on me for some time, and I've told a lot of young people over the years, you know, when God starts working on you, you pay attention. You know, I've ended up with one eye has been removed, I've lost a spleen, my back has been broken, a disc has been removed, my left leg's been shortened, and over a dozen broken bones. By the way, none of that happened bull riding. That was the safest thing I did. I think God already knew I had too much wrong with me. but He was beating on me. He was trying to get Ted Weiland's attention. You know, one pastor called me a posthead. He said, you can't get through to him for nothing. Well, thankfully God didn't give up on this posthead. You know, He had His way with me, but it took some beating on me to get my attention. You know, I count all of those things that have gone wrong with me a blessing, because I wouldn't trade them for anything, because it was my God trying to get my attention.
Well, you see, Romans 8:28 applies, doesn't it? If we serve Him, it works to our good.
Yep, my favorite saying is kind of a takeoff of that, is everything goes wrong just right.
That's a good way to put it.
He's sovereign, and He's in control, and that's one of the reasons, despite all this craziness that's going on, I've never seen anything so crazy as what we're seeing right now.
So absurd.
Although I'm not surprised. You know, I think we're seeing the enemies of Christ destroying themselves. The scripture that keeps coming to mind is 1 Corinthians 1, that God confounds the wise. at least those who think they're wise, worldly wisdom. I love Job's one of Job's statements, too, or one of the statements in Job. I don't think it came from Job, but one of the other men, and where he said, great men are not always wise. There's a lot of great men out there, but they're not always wise, at least not with God's wisdom. It's earthly wisdom instead of godly wisdom.
Well, you know, we're told in Timothy, too, that in days like this, that the wicked will be deceived, and deceive others. It's a righteous individual that's truly seeking the word of God and understanding His wisdom are not as easily deceived as all those who go to church and say they're righteous, but they're not seeking God's will. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I think we've got, the churches today are, people won't like this, but so be it. But they're as much pits of hell in many cases as is what we find in Washington, D.C. And in fact, what's going on in the federal and state capitals of this country wouldn't be occurring if that weren't the cases with our churches today.
Amen.
And we're so far removed from what we find in the scriptures. For example, what we find in the apostles' responses to those who persecuted them in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5, and particularly Acts chapter 17, 6 and 7, that they saw a different king. They knew a different king, and they served a different king. And because of that, they renounced the laws of all other alleged kings, such as Caesar. I love how it describes them there in Acts 17, that as a result they were turning their world upside down, which was really right side up. But according from Caesar's perspective, it was upside down, and they became, and I've pointed this out many times, I'm sure you have too, that if the first century AD were inundated with what we have as churches today, for the most part, there's exceptions, of course, but for the most part, Caesar wouldn't have been concerned about his world being turned upside down. Those in the churches, if they were like those today, would have been some of his best citizens.
Oh, yes, but, absolutely. Well, again, the scripture I was mentioning, I'll just read real quickly. I think it ties in with what you're saying. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers or imposters or frauds. So this, folks, listen, this is important. But evil men, keep that word evil men in mind, two words, and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now pay attention. Evil men. I don't care if you go to church or not. I don't care if you say you're Christian. I don't care if you've been, say, speaking in tongues, jump up and down, shout off the roof. I don't care. If you're being deceived by Satan's deceptions that we're seeing right now, you're an evil man or a woman. Evil men will be seduced, and it's going to wax worse and worse. They're going to deceive others by their teachings and be deceived. Now, that's in your Bible. Do as you please. And Thessalonians chapter 2 says that God himself will send a strong delusion on those who don't believe, so they'll be damned. Now, brother, I don't want to start preaching again, but this is real Bible, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure is. I'll piggyback on that and say, repeat what Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and that was because the days are evil, we need to redeem this time. And if you can't see that the days are evil about us, then God's blinded you. And I don't know how you're going to ever be awakened from your stupor unless God awakens you. But when you can see, if you can see that the days are evil, then we need to redeem the time, or I think the New American Standard says make the most of your time because the days are evil. And we've got to make the most of this. And it's a great time. It's a great time to be living. I really believe, this with all my heart, Butch, that we're at the very beginning, and I do mean the very beginning, of what is probably the most exciting paradigm shift in America's history. Even more exciting than that in the early 1600s when they came over here and did not establish churches of, by, and for the people based upon capricious Enlightenment and Masonic traditions as they did in the late 1700s, but they established churches of, by, and for God, established,
Amen.
Expressly established upon His law. You know, in New Haven, Connecticut's agreement, their constitution, if you are not familiar with it, Google and look it up, or you can find parts of it in the book we'll probably be mentioning here shortly. But they, you know, talk about doing things right. They, not perfectly, there's always mistakes that are made. But
because that's because there's people involved. There's people involved. They're not
perfect.
There's
people involved. That's right. There's finite, fickle humans. But nonetheless, they intended their governments to be of, by, and for God, established upon His law.
And by the way, you had to be a born-again believer to even run for office.
Yeah, you couldn't. In fact, they, in that New Haven, Connecticut agreement, as it was called, they reference Exodus 18:21 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and several other passages that were a part of the requirement. The mandatory requirements of biblical qualifications for civil leaders, unlike what we have today.
And folks, by the way, that was intentionally left out of the Constitution for a reason. We'll get maybe that a little bit later on. But go ahead, Ted.
Well, I was finishing that, pretty much finished my thought, just the comparison between the two. And if we're going to do things right, if we're going to take advantage of the time we live in, and I think, well, here's what I was going to say, is that even more exciting than what happened in the early 1600s is what I think we've got the potential of doing right now, and what I believe is the beginning of a very exciting paradigm shift where we don't come over here and just have to build, but we have to tear down, much the same as with Jeremiah, who needed to tear things down and then build things back up. You know, Psalms, David talks about, you know, when the foundations are destroyed, what shall mm-hmm. the righteous do? Well,
yep.
how about, here's a novel idea, how about rebuild the foundations? Let's do it for our, if not for our God, well, we need to do it for our God, and if not for ourselves, then for our posterity. Let's start rebuilding those righteous foundations that we one time had here in America in the early 1600s.
Well, I know you and I have a little different view on some things along the lines for what the future holds, but that's beside the point. You're right. You're absolutely right. Without the foundation of Christ, no matter how well-intentioned men are, brother, I don't care. And I have to admit that the wording of the Declaration of Independence was so beautiful. And it really were. And the idea we'll call the Bill of Rights and maybe some good ideas. But without Christ, the foundation, it can't last. You cannot trust man to govern himself without Christ, can you?
Well, and let me, that's right, and let me add to your rights discussion, because here's something that most people have not thought about. There is only one who has a right to
That's right.
And that's our God and Creator.
Amen.
Even life is not a right. And I know there's an organization called the Right to Life. He is as Creator. He's the only one who has a right to life.
He's only sovereign. He's only sovereign.
That's right. And
he
for the rest of us,
sovereign. There's nothing else.
Yep. For the rest of us, life and everything that comes with it is a gift from God, or a blessing, as you put it, and a responsibility. You put it as duty. I usually say responsibility to God to do with it as He intends for us to do it. And if life is our right, then God was obligated to create us. And He would therefore, consequently, have no authority after that to judge us for what's our right to do with as we please.
Well, name of Christ. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I've got a blog article for those who would like to go and research this to a little more, to a little bit greater degree. In fact, I've got three on the issue of rights. One's called Rights, Everybody Wants Their Rights. I've got another one called Rights, the Sacrilegious Claim to Divinity. And then I've got one called America's Road to Hell, Paved with Rights. And we have been deceived. We've been taken down a road that we should have never gone down in the first place, because God did not call us to have rights.
This I mean, look at what we have today. We have minority rights. We have homosexual rights. We have right to murder babies. You have all these rights. No, 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 people. We were given responsibilities. And one of the duties, brother, was to protect the innocent life, was it not?
Yes, amen. Amen.
And we had the duty to keep and bear arms. Now, when we failed to use that duty to protect the most innocent in the world, we lost a lot of blessings, didn't we?
Yes, amen. Let me give a scripture in fact regarding our responsibility to bear arms. And one that I just am amazed that people who promote bearing arms just from a scriptural standpoint very seldom refer to, and that's 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, where it's talking about providing for your family, and if you don't, you're worse than an infidel. Well, that provision for our family begins with spiritual and then physical protection. Because the housing, clothing, and food, what good is it if we allow the murderer, the thief, and the rapist to come in and steal it and take it from us? And therefore, our greatest responsibility is first spiritual protection and then physical protection. And if we don't provide that, you and I, Butch, are worse than infidels. Now,
that's right. We deny the faith.
Yeah, that's right. And we should be asking ourselves this question as well. Which is more potent, an optional right under the Second Amendment or a non-optional responsibility under the Bible?
Amen.
And which is more likely to be infringed, licensed, and eventually abolished? And what was it that the pre-Second Amendment Americans look to as their authority? Well, I think it was Psalms 149, 6 through 9, and 1 Timothy 5, 8, and
hang on through the break. Don't lose that thought. Hang on through the break, okay? Book a big phone call next half hour at 844-769-2944. All right, folks, we are back. The phone line is 844-769-2944. As I said during the last segment, Ted and I don't see eye to eye on the end of this. We don't. That's okay. We see the duty we have right now. I am not a prophet, and I don't claim to be, although I've been accused of that. But I don't see things, let's say, in prophecy. I read the scripture. I look at history. I study current events. I see this is coming next, people. This is coming next because it's in line with the scripture, in line with history, and what's happening right now. So what we're seeing happening right now is the fact that you and I, have allowed the tyranny to rule over us and to take away our jobs, take away our livelihoods, cut off our food supply. Oh, yes, folks, that's coming big time. We've allowed them to destroy the world's economy because they want to bring in a world currency. We've allowed them to control us. Brother, I went to see a doctor here last week, and I was talking to the doctor. He usually has patients in the hospital. The hospital is not a big hospital. Probably, I don't know, 200 beds. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But they had 6 patients in the whole hospital. They were laying off nurses and doctors.
How many did you say?
6.
6?
6 total.
I thought you said 50. Oh, my goodness.
Six of them, and somebody's arguing about the coronavirus, saying, "Oh, well, you said it's a hype." No, I didn't say that. I said it. I mean, he says a hoax. I said, "No, I didn't say that." I said the hype up part of it is a hoax. And I emailed back and said, "Listen, if this is so deadly, why are those 6 people in the hospital and they don't have COVID? And why is an Elkins hospital, which is much bigger than somebody, only has 4 in it? They're laying off doctors and cutting pay. I mean, people, we let this happen. It's our fault. We have the tyranny that we deserve and tolerate. That's what we have. Now, Ted, you were making point to break, and I'm sorry I got took off there again. I'm very easily excited about this stuff. Anyway,
let me, if I could, right now, with your permission, give my website
and a little information about it before we completely forget,
because I can't believe we're already halfway through this. But my website, for those who are interested in checking this out, it's Bible. Verses spelled out, verses as in V-E-R-S-U-S, BibleVersesConstitution.org. And I'd like to especially have them look at the right-hand side column where they'll find a 10-question Constitution survey, and they can find out how much they really know about the Constitution as compared to the Bible, because we've been lied about the compatibility between the two. And I have a book called Bible Law versus the United States Constitution, a Christian Perspective, in which it's 550-plus pages, and I've devoted a chapter to examining every article and every amendment by the Bible. And I'll guarantee you that when we just let the Bible do the speaking, we find out that that document is not what we think it is. Constitution survey, they'll get a free copy of the 85-page primer of the Big Book. Or they can even get the Big Book by just asking me for it. We're not charging anything for anything. If people decide to donate, fine, but especially in this day and age, if they can't afford something on our website. And in fact, all of my books are on our website. You can download them free anyway. But if you prefer a hard copy, I'll be glad to send it to you.
And folks, is your email address on there and or phone number on there too?
The email address is not on there, but there's a place where they can contact me, which will get them to me.
Well, now, a lot of folks don't have computers. Your book, especially the small one, I think maybe the 85-page one might be a good starter.
Yeah, something smaller.
If they would call me and want copies of that, could I get those mailed to them just for cover postage?
Oh, definitely. And they don't even have to pay. I'll pay postage if they can't afford it. Yeah, definitely. Or they can if they don't get on the if they don't have computers and don't get on the internet, we can save a step here. They can write me, Ted Weiland, Weiland, at P.O. Box 248, and that's Scotts Bluff, one word, Scottsbluff, Nebraska's N.E., and the zip code is 69363.
And, folks, if you missed that, call me at the office. You give me your name and address. I will forward it to Ted, and he'll get a copy of the book. Just forward to Pastor Butch at startmail.com. Pastor Butch at startmail.com. It's a book that you're going to want to read. Some of the things he wrote in the book, I was leaning in the same direction, I thought. But I must be an oddball. I mean, I never heard a preacher ever say this thing before, folks. We almost reverence our founding fathers to the point of idolatry. I'll be quite honest with you, we do.
Yeah,
some of them really good men. They were really good men, but they were just men. And what they write is not infallible because men wrote it. Understand that. Only God's word is infallible. But now, you were talking before the break about some things. I'm sorry I lost track of that. I've got to talk to you. But you go ahead and say a few more things. We'll take phone calls here in a couple minutes.
I'm gonna kind of piggyback on what you just said. You were talking about some of the men those known as the founding fathers or constitutional framers. And I know amongst most Christians and patriots, that Patrick Henry is one of their favorites. And, give me liberty or give me death speech. Well, what most people do not know about Patrick Henry is that he refused to attend the Constitutional Convention.
Right.
One of Virginia's delegates, declaring, here's what he said, and this is a quote. He said, "I smelt a rat," end of quote. And let me just give you a short paragraph here from the Virginia ratifying convention, what he had to say about the Constitution and the new government that they were trying to form. Quote, "I say your privileges and rights," now he didn't understand rights correctly, but nevertheless, he says, "I say your privileges and rights are in danger. The new form of government will effectually oppress and ruin the people. In some parts of the plan before you, the great rights of freemen are endangered, in other parts absolutely taken away. There will be no checks, no real balances in this government. What can avail your spacious imaginary balances, your rope dancing, chain-rattling, ridiculous ideal checks and contrivances? And yet, who knows the danger that this new system may produce? They are out of sight of the common people." Well, we're seeing them now. It's the whirlwind of Hosea. "They sowed the wind, and we're reaping the whirlwind." He goes on, he says, "They cannot foresee latent consequences. I see great jeopardy in this new Constitution," end of quote. In contrast to the Federalists, failed predictions, every one of them, and nearly everything the anti-federalists forecast about the Constitution has come true. And that is, by the way, that is even after the Bill of Rights were added, which was a couple of years later.
Well, you see, I'm going to again lean to the idea that maybe some of you guys had some ideas when they wrote unalienable in these so-called rights. Folks, again, a right is something that you can choose to exercise. But if you study the scriptures, as Brother Ted just mentioned, two scriptures, and you study the scriptures in Numbers chapter 1, the idea where we found the idea of families being organized into fighting groups as some civilian militia. We find Nehemiah chapter 4, where the people are told to rebuild the city with a sword in one hand and a tool in the other hand. We find Christ himself telling us, I said us, If you're born again, blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ, you're a disciple of Christ. He told disciples, if you don't have a sidearm, you sell your coat and buy one. Now that's the Bible. We can do it. You can do it as you please. And by the way, people, most of the New Testament was written out of prison. These men were in prison for not obeying Caesar. Am I telling the truth,
right,
Ted?
Yep, that's right.
I mean, Romans 13, one everybody wants to quote as being obeying Caesar, was written out of prison by Paul. Please, people, if we have to start thinking and studying on our own, don't take your pastor's word nor my word for good morning. You check and see what, if Ted and I are telling you the truth, and you form your own ideas. But I must tell you this. We don't have a lot of time as individuals or as a country. I don't care if you're 20 years old or 80 years old. Your life's not promised another day. It's in the hands of one who created you. You don't have a lot of time to waste dwelling or trying to believe falsehoods. Once you've been exposed to the truth, you can no longer claim ignorance. It's impossible. Once ignorance is lost, you can't get it back, no matter how much you want to. So after tonight's program, you're going to hear some things, well, I never thought about that way. I don't know how to agree with it. Fine. Don't agree with it. Look for yourself. See if we're telling the truth. If we are, do as the Bereans did. Study for yourself. We're telling the truth and accept it. If not, then do what you want. But I would like to be corrected if I'm wrong. I really would. But I can't not find anywhere in Scripture or history that I'm wrong what we're saying right now. I've looked. Brother Ted, I got to tell you this. I got to confess to you and others. I didn't want to believe this when I started seeing it in the Bible. I've been told this so wrong for so long, I didn't want to believe it. It's hard to change old habits, isn't it?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, and that's why it requires that we submit ourselves on a daily basis, that we take up the cross and follow him. And crosses, you know, today we use crosses, we adorn our buildings with them, we hang them on our walls and around our necks. Well, back then there was only one purpose for a cross, and that was to die on.
That's right.
And we're to daily take up our cross and die to ourselves and live for Christ. And there's a reason for that, nobody can live for Christ on a one-time commitment. It's a one-time commitment every day, and sometimes multiple times through the day, that I'm living for you, Christ. And what a glorious life it is to live. You know, God's blessed me with 65 years of life and 40 some years of life again in him, and there's nothing sweeter. And not only to be called to know him, but to be called to serve him.
Oh, amen.
And especially in this day and age. Oh, what, this is a glorious time to live for him. We are privileged to live during this time. Because we're seeing their walls come down.
Yeah, we're seeing prophecy being fulfilled, are we not?
Oh, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, their fortresses are being brought down, and every thought, we have the chance now to more than ever before, Butch, to take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. And
that is our duty as individuals. And I just finished an article. If you go to newswithviews.com, Ted, you'll see several articles are written on there, newswithviews.com. And some of them the books are written, too. I'll send you later on. But, folks, Ted and I's theology as far as what the end times will be like, we don't agree on that point. But the point of it is he sees the truth that the blame is not in government or the men in government. The blame is in the church house behind the pulpits of this nation. Now, Ted, I know it makes a lot of people mad, but I'm a preacher, so I can say that. The blame lies behind the pulpits, does it not?
Yeah. especially in this day and age, as I said before, we are so far from removed from what we find in the scriptures. You know, speaking of Romans 13, let me give you an example. Even those on the right side of Romans 13, the Romans 13 issue, still haven't really understood it, for the most part, what Paul was getting across there. Romans 13, 1 through 7 has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with secular government whatsoever. Instead, what we find in there, everything in those verses is our mandate for dominion over government and society. You know, and the one word continually in verse 6 proves the point. My latest book is called The Romans 13 Template for Biblical Dominion, 10 Reasons Why Romans 13 is Not About Secular Government. It's our mandate for biblical dominion over government. And the one word continually in verse 6 proves the point, amplifying verses 3 and 4. 3 and 4, which tells us that the God-fearing men whom God intends to be over government were continually, verse 6, a blessing to the righteous and yes, a terror to the wicked.
That's right.
And unless you're prepared to say the Roman Empire was a government that continually blessed Christians and terrorized the wicked, you best rethink your theology regarding Romans 13. It's our mandate. And we may not agree as far as eschatology and the end times completely. You know, who does? But we do agree that we need to get busy with what time God's given us on the earth, regardless what it is.
Amen. Absolutely right. You know, it's amazing. Paul wrote that, I said, out of prison. Paul wrote that because he wouldn't obey Caesar, nor the so-called church of the day told him to shut up. Yeah, the so-called church folks, they call themselves believers, threatened Paul. Matter of fact, they're the ones that had Paul finally beheaded at the end of it. Let's take a phone call. Let's start in Florida with Randy. Randy, come on in. Welcome.
I kind of commend you for keeping your church open, for starters.
You bet.
How many people are in your church, by the way?
Well, most of my work is internet, and we're a small group here, but we're actively busy furthering the kingdom in every fashion we possibly can.
Okay. Well, moving on, you talked about rights. You know, in my Strong's Biblical Concordance, it doesn't even list the word rights. Jesus said we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of heaven in his righteousness, not his rights. You know,
the church seems
to have more concern and emphasis on their rights than righteousness.
It's very well stated. In fact, one of the chapters in my book, I forget for which amendment it's for. Well, it's for Amendment 9, in fact. It's called Rights versus Righteousness. So you're right on. And in fact, let me piggyback on what you said, that you won't find rights in the Bible, and you won't. And the reason you won't is because in the Hebrew language, there's no Hebrew word for rights. It's a concept they did not understand. They understood responsibilities and they understood righteousness, although, of course, they failed in it oftentimes, as we do today. But as far as right, it's our responsibilities, not our rights.
Amen.
Our God is the only one with rights.
Okay, moving on from there, you mentioned Exodus 18:21. Well, I've been using that verse, you know, to chastise people that continue to insist Trump is the reincarnation of Christ, you know, in the U.S. You know, but my question about that verse is, who does it say is to choose the rulers meeting that criteria of loving God in truth and in hating covetousness? Did Moses or did the Israelite people select the rulers?
Well, actually, it was neither one. If you go back two chapters to Exodus chapter 17, in both verses 10 and 15, and 10 is dealing with the judges, and then in verse 15, you'll find the same phrase used there. And in verse 17, and let me read to you just verse 15, but you'll find the same thing in verse 10 as well. And let me see here, 17, where'd 17 go? 15. Excuse me, it's Deuteronomy 17 that I need. But anyway,
okay.
It tells us that that were to put those men in place whom Yahweh chooses.
Amen.
And and not whom we choose. God never intended men to elect anyone. That is his exclusive right to do so. What was happening in Exodus 21 is they were nominating men from amongst themselves, men who were known to be biblically qualified, and then they put it to the lots. Even in the case of Saul, who Samuel had already been told was the next king, if you recall the account, he then tells Samuel, when you go to the people to bring Saul before him, you throw lots. And the Benjamin tribe came up, and eventually Saul came up, the family of Saul, and then Saul himself. So even in the case where Samuel had already been told it's Saul, God still used lots. We find the same thing in Acts 1, and if you recall, they say when they were choosing between Matthias and his counterpart, that they said, they prayed, and they said, God, show us whom thou choosest. And then they threw lots, and it came up Matthias. And the reason that's important is because God is, first of all, you've got to start with biblically qualified men whom we nominate. And then God, the only one who knows the hearts of men, he's the one who does the election and reveals it through the throwing of lots.
Go ahead. I'm going to say, and to add more to that, and I'm guilty. We've been committed idolatry for a lot of years, haven't we?
Oh, golly, we're still committing idolatry in so many different ways.
Randy, any more questions real quick?
Well, I would just repeat what I said last week. We're supposed to obey God rather than man. And there's no authority in heaven or on earth for a government at any level to close businesses and shut down our society. So again, I say, if you have a business, open it. If you have a church, open it. You know, you don't need permission from the powers that be, only from our Creator. And He tells us to work and to go to church. So I would just repeat that. You know, I see all these pitiful protests going on around the country, and they're missing the point. The point is that we don't need to beg and grumble before government for permission to do what I just said. Just do it. If you really want to defy and resist tyranny, just do it.
Amen. Amen. Okay, good call, Randy. Thank you. Good call. Randy makes a lot of good points. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me add here just real quick. You'll find more on the biblical plan of election versus which, by the way, you end up with the best of the best every single time rather than the lesser of two evils, if we're lucky, under a constitutional election program, which is completely unbiblical, and it usurped God's authority there. But in Chapter 5 of Bible Law versus United States Constitution, which, again, is all online. You can pull it right up and read it or download it. But in Chapter 5, which is dealing with Article 2, entitled Executive Usurpation, probably, I think it's the longest chapter other than maybe Chapter 4 in the entire book, but there's quite a section on the election process of the Bible versus the constitutional election process.
All right. And how many books do you have that people can get a copy of, by the way?
Oh, you would ask that. I've got to have close to or over 20 book and booklets I've written.
All right, folks, if you want a copy, and I would suggest very right away, call tomorrow. You can call here if you like. 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. Just give Lisa your name and address, and I will let Ted know which book you want. I would recommend the Bible versus Constitution to start off with. And again, I'm not saying that some people that did this didn't. Maybe some of them may have some good intentions, but the wise ones like Patrick Henry saw through it and would not support it because man had too much authority. The first three words, you know, when you think about this very simply, the first constitution, well, I guess you would call it, or covenant we made when we first come to this nation was the Mayflower Compact. And the first words were in God's, I can't remember, in God's name or whatever, this is what they mentioned, the Creator first in that compact. In the Constitution, we say we the people.
Here's how I put it. It's time for us to choose between the document that begins, we the people, and the one that begins, in the beginning, God.
Amen. Hey, that's it, folks. It's just that easy. 844-769-2418. 2944. Now, I'm quite certain where I made a lot of people angry tonight, and I didn't do it for that reason. But believe me, I didn't. That I heard people speak today who were military veterans like I was, and they took an oath to uphold the Constitution and protect it from enemies, both foreign and domestic. Let me just tell you this very clearly. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you, get mad if you want, I really don't care. I raised my right hand and said the same thing, but I was a hypocrite. I never even read the cotton-picking thing. How I know what's being upheld or not. And I would say this very clearly, that 99% of those who keep talking about the Constitution and Bill of Rights have never even read them.
Yeah,
much less study them.
I'm sure that's right.
If folks, that's a hypocrisy. A hypocrisy. And that makes us hypocrites. You need to study the Word of God above and beyond all things. Christ said to put ye first, the kingdom of God, to put the kingdom of God before all other kingdoms here on earth or anywhere else.
Amen.
We keep putting our Republican, our Democrat, whatever people ahead of that. That is not Bible. God is supreme above all of them. His kingdom is a kingdom we should belong to right now. I'm not waiting to join it. I'm already in it. Yeah, I was an unworthy citizen for a long time of that kingdom, but I'm trying to improve. Now, Taylor, we're down about the last 3 minutes. What do you want to say in closing?
Well, if I could, I'd mention the website again for those who may have joined us since I last did. It's BibleVersusConstitution.org. Bible Versus spelled out, V-E-R-S-U-S, BibleVersusConstitution.org. Be sure to do, if you go to the computer and you can get online, be sure to go to the right-hand sidebar and take our 10-question Constitution survey. Find out how much you really know about the Constitution as compared to the Bible. It's not what you think it is. It's not what you've been told it is. And we'll send you a free copy of the 85-page primer of the big 550-plus page book, Bible Law versus the United States Constitution, the Christian Perspective. Free of charge. I pay the postage. I pay it all.
Again, if you don't have a computer, you call me now. Let's try to squeeze in one more quick phone call. Let's go to Massachusetts and talk to Dave. Dave, come on in. Got about a minute or so. Come on in.
Well, you're one of the biggest lies that we have in the modern church world is when our Lord said, "Oh, my kingdom is not of this world." They take that to mean as, "Oh, he doesn't have any dominion on this earth." No, I've kind of realized what that really means is he didn't get his kingdom from anyone here on earth, but his Father in heaven.
Right.
And also we got the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And I was thinking, well, wait a minute, the money problem, and what about the ultimate standard, you know, the standard of right and wrong? You can't have that just widely fluctuating from day to day. You don't have your Constitution to say anything about that.
Well, you see, we keep hearing about constitutional rights to murder babies, constitutional rights for two men to pretend marriage. These are not. We are talking about something totally different between constitutional rights and the will of God, aren't we, Ted?
Oh, absolutely. They're almost diametrically opposed in many instances.
They truly are. Anything else?
You know, the First Amendment, which is, by the way, where most Christians hang their hat, is maybe the worst of all of them.
Okay, let's tell Dave, anything else real quickly?
Say again?
Well, we've gotten to the First Amendment. I would say that, how we say you can worship whatever God you want, that's the First Amendment, but the God who created you, does he give you the right to render what's his due under the First Commandment to anyone or anything else?
Amen. The First Amendment calls it idolatry. I've got Jump and Ted Whalen, thank you so much. Can I get in touch with you later on?
Yes, I won't be available the rest of the night, but tomorrow will work.
All right, God bless you. You call me anytime you need me, okay? I'll talk to you soon. Folks, I love you. We'll see you tomorrow night. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.